Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And it isn't yours, listen. He needs to be. He can be. In fact, He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus tells us, as Luke records it in the Gospel according to Him, chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a great, great message that it is. And what a great day that it is. Oh, isn't it wonderful? The Bible said this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's so many things to be happy about. So many things to be glad about. Oh, I know we've got our battles. I know we've got our enemies. I know, friend, listen, there are challenges all over the place. But hey, we serve the Almighty God. If we're saved, our name's recorded in the book, Lamb's Book of Life. We're sealed with His Spirit. He promised that He'd come again when He left the first time. And you know what? I'm looking forward to that. I've opened my Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. And there you'll find Paul's, what I refer to, his mini autobiography. I'm going to pick it up and reading. Oh, I don't know. I may start at verse 4. Probably will read down through and include verse 10, if not verse 11, the good Lord willing, and share the message that God has laid on my heart. Oh, I hope it's a blessing. I want to be, but I know this is going to be. Debbie's got a song tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is Heaven Awaits. And it does, just like she said, folks, for those whose trust is in the Lord. Hey, you got to do more than know about Jesus. You got to know Him personally. We'll talk about some of that in this message the Lord has laid in my heart. As soon as Debbie gets done, I'll meet you back in Philippians chapter 3.
One day my labor down here will be all. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across that foamy sea where heaven waits. Trust in
What awaits you just beyond the grave? What awaits you in eternity? Look, we've all got one, and we're all headed that way. And we need to make sure that we're going to the right place in eternity. Listen, there are two places. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, and we determine by what we do with Jesus in this life as to where we'll spend our next life. And I'm going to tell you what, knowing this personally, friend, knowing Jesus, knowing Him as my personal Savior, knowing of His sins, like I told you at the beginning, you're under the blood, I'm sealed with the Spirit of God, I want you to know something, friend. That's the best life to live. Well, that'd be a good message, but the Lord has led me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading, as I told you, at verse 4. Read down through and include verse 10, maybe verse 11 to go along with it. But listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying and has said. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherefore or whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Now listen to what he said about himself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees concerning zeal persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is in the law. Well, he said, I'm blameless on that. He said, but wait just a minute. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to talk to you for just a little while today, the good Lord willing. I'm going to talk to you about godly goals for all of us. Godly goals for all of us. Hey, can I ask you, friend, can I ask you what you'd like to have? I mean, what kind of goals do you have? You said any goals? Now listen, we just got through the season this year at the making of this program of the Olympics. I didn't watch it. I didn't want to put up with the political aspect of it that I knew was going to be manifesting itself this year. But you know all those participants. All of those participants, regardless of what sport it was, regardless of where they participated and took part in those, they called them games. Do you know what they did? They had a goal. They set a goal early on in their life. And most of the athletes that set the goals and do the remarkable, seemingly almost to the point of unhuman things, friend, they give it a lifetime. They absolutely hold nothing back. They live for that. And you know what? That's what we ought to do. If you're saved out there listening to this old country preacher today, say amen. Well, if you're saved, friend, bless God. We ought to do that. We ought to give ourselves to Christ, to God, to His work, His will and His way. We ought not hold anything back. I want to ask you something, friend, or I want to make a statement, actually, and then I'll ask you a question. I'll probably do it if I don't forget at the end of this message, too. Listen, can I tell you, friend, if you're saved, your salvation wasn't the end. Thank God it was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. So I'm going to ask you something. What are your spiritual wants? Where do you see yourself lacking? Where do you need to grow in God's grace and in His knowledge? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to count as done? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in verse 7. He said, but. Now look, that goes back to pick up verses 4 and 5, where he tells us what he used to be as a Jew. As a Jew born, friend, in the house of Benjamin. I believe it was the tribe of Benjamin. Listen, friend, he was one, he belonged to the only tribe that stuck with Judah, that stayed firm when the nation of Israel split into 10 and 2 tribes. Oh, I want you to know, friend, that puts him with good, and you're talking about fighters. Those Benjaminites were fighters. They had the ability, had to stand against any foe that there was, and to stand with David, King David. But Paul says, look, not only that, he said, I kept the law. I was even circumcised the eighth day. I mean, I'm of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, meaning, hey, you can run my lineage back, my genealogy on both mom and dad's side. Not only could I kept the father's side at that time. And he says, it's pure. You can trace it back all the way to the beginning of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's all the way pure. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And if that's not enough, touching the law that God gave to Moses to give the nation of Israel the Mount Sinai, he said, I was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. And not only that, he said, I was the most zealous Pharisee that there was concerning zeal. He said, I persecuted the church. Isn't that amazing? Well, I wonder how that made him sad. I wonder if he wrote that with tears coming in his eyes. And he said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, listen, here's my autobiography. And he said, I was as blameless as I could be. I was as righteous as I could be according to the law. So you know what Paul was doing there? In verse 7 he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He didn't mean when he was given a list of them that he was counting them one at a time, but he was counting all of them, all that he was in his former life before he met Christ, all that he was as a Pharisee that was met by Jesus on that road to the city of Damascus, all that he was being schooled in the schools of Tarsus and at the feet of Gamaliel. Do you know what? Paul said all of those achievements, all of those goals, all of those gains that I had, just listen, before I met Christ. He said, listen to the contrast. He said, what things that I thought were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ, and all they were gain. I want you to know, friend, in the natural world with men, he was well known. He was noted. I mean to tell you, no doubt in my mind, he was honored. He was choice in many, many ways. Oh, he said, listen, friend, compared to what I've got now in Christ, compared to what I am in Christ, and compared to what Christ has in store for me, I bless God, he said, all of those things. And he said, on the contrast, he said, I begin to look at them, and I count them but lost. Now look at what he counted in verse 8. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered. Now watch this. He said, the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You're talking about powerful language. You're talking about plain language. Listen, friend, Paul was counting the cost. I mean to tell you, he took a position, it seems to me, here of an accountant. He began to weigh his former life out that I read to you in verse 4 and 5 in a very succinct, simple way, but yet it was profound. And Paul said, I'm weighing my life out now that I know Christ is my Savior. Now that I know my sins are under the blood, my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul said, let me tell you something. All those things that I gained, all of those things that I thought were excellent, he said, they're nothing compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And look what he said, my Lord. And he said, I suffer the loss of them and do, here it is, count them but dung. Hey, listen, in verse 7, we see the contrast going on in Paul's heart and in Paul's mind, setting it forth before us to challenge us as a testimony to us, as a witness for us. And oh, Paul said, if you really do the counting right, if you add things up right, listen, you won't lose anything. You won't lose anything. Now get this, seeing that we win Christ. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Paul said this, listen. He said, I want more than anything to become like him. I want more than anything, friend, to be like my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. Shouldn't that be our goal? Shouldn't that be my goal and your goal? Oh, friend, listen. Oh, to be like him. We want to be with him someday. And by the grace of God, we will. But don't we want to be like him? Isn't that what it means to be a Christian? Doesn't Christ like means to be like Christ. Doesn't the very term Christian itself mean to be a little Christ? All Paul said be is for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what he's talking about here. Paul said, listen, I counted all of those accomplishments that I had, even being a Jew. He lost his family. He lost his honor. He lost his respect. It's all probable that his mom and dad disowned him after that he was converted on that road to Damascus. I sometimes can't help but think that Paul won them the Lord, but we have no record of that. We'll just have to wait and see it. Maybe live in hope. But Paul said, listen, those things that I lost are just one thing. And you know what? I've only got one thing that I want on the other side. I just want to win Christ. I just want to gain Christ. I just want to live like Him. I just want to die like Him. I just want to become like Him in this life. And got to go on. Not only have the contrast and the cost, but look at verse 9 at the craving. And he said to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law. Paul said, according to the righteousness which is of the law, I'm blameless. Hey, listen, friend, I don't see Jesus rebuking him, confronting him. There was a righteousness in the law. There was a righteousness that the law produced. But can I tell you, sir, man, no law. Mark her down. Everybody heard me say, no law. Say amen. Blessed, no law. Whether it be the law of God, whether it be the law of man, whether it be law of a church, a denomination. Hey, it doesn't matter whose law it is. No law can produce enough righteousness to meet the righteous standard that God has. There's only one thing how that would do that. And Paul's going to tell us what it is. He said, to be found in Him. That's what I crave. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. But he said, listen, that which is of faith, the faith of Christ, of the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says it's that righteousness that God has that can be imputed to me, put on my account, when I put my trust and my faith in Christ, when I go to Him as a broken, repenting sinner, as I go to Him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, when I go to Him under the weight of conviction and confessing my sins and by faith receiving Him, Paul said, hey, what I craved, I got the righteousness of God, the righteousness demanded of God. The righteousness is only as a source from God imputed to my life by faith. How wonderful, friend. Listen, Paul said that I might win Him and gain Him. But look, we're not done. Look at verse 10. We not only have the contrast in verse 7, not only the count in verse 8, not only the craving in verse 9, but look at the challenge in verse 10. Oh, what a mighty verse this is. Now listen to what he said, that I might know Him. Number one, and the power of His resurrection. Number two, the fellowship of His suffering. Number three, being made conformable unto His death. Number four. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the challenge is to know. The challenge is to have. The challenge is to participate. And the challenge, friend, listen, is to conform. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'm the first challenge here. Thank God, is to know Him. Listen. That's what Paul said. Now watch this. Paul said that I may know Him. He didn't say know about Him. You see, it's not enough to know about this Jesus. Not enough to know about this only begotten Son of God. It's not enough to know that He was virgin born, lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us, was buried in a borrowed tomb, come out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning, 40 days later ascended back to the right hand of the Father, where He sits as a mediator between men and God, or between God and men. That's all good, but that's not enough. You've got to know Him personally. You've got to know Him experientially. It's not enough to know Him academically. You got to know Him. And Paul said, now that I have won Him, now that I have traded everything, counted everything that I was as dung, as refuse. I flushed it down the toilet, if you will. Paul said, listen, my own goal, my only hope, my only desire, my only intent is to know Him. And you know what? The only way you can know Him is to spend power with Him. Not only did Paul want to know Him, bless God, he wanted daily to have Christ's likeness produced in his life, so he said that I may know Him. Now watch this, and the power of His resurrection. Thank God for that power. You know what power that is? It's a power of a resurrection life. Isn't that amazing? And the power of His resurrection. Now Paul wasn't talking about a day that was yet to come. He was talking about a day that already happened in that day. Paul was saying, listen, I want the power of that Savior who went down into the very depths of death, down there, bless God, in the very pit of hell, if you will, and came out victorious. Paul said, I want that power flowing in me, how that brought Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, out from among the dead. Paul said, I want to live in that power, that resurrected life of Jesus, who is and was and always shall be, who sits on the throne, who rules and reigns, who created and sustains. Paul said, I want to know that power, that overcoming power, that enabling power, that prompting power, that provoking power, that enabling power. Paul said, I want it, have that power that comes with our Savior who died, who was buried, and is raised, thank God, to an endless life. Oh, Paul said, I want that power. He knew he'd be resurrected by the power of God someday. But he wanted the power of the living, resurrected Christ flowing in his body, in his spirit, in his heart, his life, and his soul. But he said, wait just a minute. I not only want that, but he said, I want the fellowship. Now listen to this, of his suffering. I've got two ideas on this. I've got to be quick because my time's quickly running out. Fellowship, and I have things in common. You know what Paul was saying? Number one, I believe he was saying this. He said, listen, I'm going to be willing to suffer. Just bless God as a believer as necessary. I want to be willing to suffer for Christ, seeing that He suffered for me. There's no doubt about it, friend, that I believe there was a part of that idea with Paul. Now, can I tell you what else I believe Paul wanted here? I believe it's very applicable. I believe Paul wanted to know of the suffering that Christ did for me. Paul wanted to seek to understand just what He did for me when He died for my sin, when He became the sinner's substitute. He wanted to understand the writing of the psalmist, and it was David in Psalm 22, in Psalm 16, when the prophet Isaiah began to talk about the suffering servant. I believe, listen, part of this, Paul said, I want to have the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know about it. I don't know, I want to know it is experientially, and I believe that's part of it. And no doubt Paul did, like most or no other man did. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll find out how he suffered. You'll find that he bore in his body the marks of Christ. And he's not talking about tattoos. How foolish and ignorant people can be. But Paul said, I want to know it. I want to know it experientially. I want to know it actually. Ah, thank God. Or academically and biblically. And that's what we ought to want. We ought, listen, friend, we ought to want to know Him personally. We ought to know the power of His resurrection. We ought to be partakers in the fellowship of His suffering. And then we want to be confirmed or conformed unto His death. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Well, it means simply this. That we're conformed to His death. You know what that means? That means that we're willing to die like Christ. Die to self is probably the big thing. Die to our wants. Listen, to pick up the cross and to follow Christ and to do it daily. I listen to pray, not my will, but Thine be done. And to be able to say, I didn't always achieve it, but I wanted to do the will of the Father. Hey, can I tell you, to be conformed to the image of His will means means that that it happens through the death of self for God's glory and for the good of men. Paul said, listen, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with the Lord far better. But you know what he went on to say? He said, it's more needful that I abide in the flesh. And let me ask him a question. I gotta run. Hey, listen, friend, salvation's not the end of this thing. It's just the beginning. So what are your spiritual goals? Hey, these are goals. Have that goodly goals for all of us. We ought to do our best to set out seeking them, to set out making them ours. Hey, listen, let's contrast, let's count, let's crave, and let's be challenged in these things for the glory of God. Until the next time, may God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.